Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday night, and this is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee. I'd like to start out by thanking my guest from last week. Had a really great show, and really, you know, I had a guy come on at the last minute, which was super great of him, and, you know, he knew it was going to be a short interview, and I felt like we shortchanged him, and I may get him back one day. But Rex Holm came on to talk about his adventure on American Grilled, and then we had Big Jim Stansel. And, you know, Jim's a barbecue guy from way back, as well as just participated in the grilling competition and won his segment at American Grilled. And then I had Mark Bateman on out in Hobbs, New Mexico, talking about the new FBA contest out there, and it's kind of exciting because it's really, other than in the Southeast, I mean, Florida Barbecue Association has, you know, contest in Alabama, and they have contest in Georgia, and I understand they used to have a contest in Tennessee, but, you know, as new contests come up, they look at different sanctioning bodies, and, you know, it was nice to hear Mark say that he felt like Florida had a lot to offer. Now, it's an interesting thing because it's a great problem to have, but, you know, we don't have certified judges all over the place. So the reps and the association are taking on a new adventure, and I'm really excited about it. So, you know, congratulations to them, and I really appreciate that Mark was with us last week. There are a couple spots left in Jim Elzer's class this weekend. He called me yesterday, and we posted it, and I wanted to make sure to announce it. He hasn't given me the no-go that there isn't anything left. So if you're interested, yesterday there were three spots, and I don't know if they got filled or not, but I told him I was going to mention it tonight. If you're interested, go to sweetsmokeq.com, and that's the letter Q, and it'll give you all the information you need. And, again, he had three spots left, so you could check out there. You know, also going on, and I'm kind of talking a little bit about Florida, but the fact is there were a lot of KCBS contests all over the country, and it's kind of funny because it's very difficult to keep up. If somebody honestly kept up and announced every person that won any contest, that's all we would do for a whole episode. I mean, you almost could have a show that said, okay, if you missed this, here's the grand prize winners, and gone down or make a rundown on them. But there were KCBS contests all over, and, you know, rather than single out a few, I'd just like to say congratulations to everybody. And after some of the conversations I had this week regarding some things, you know, I want to remind you that if you're new to competition cooking, let's say, because it's not just barbecue that we touch on this show, but if you're new to competition cooking of any sorts, when you put yourself out there, you do risk something going wrong and maybe being made a fool of or look silly. But the fact is, as Papa Neil said, it's better than sitting on your hind end at home waiting to do something about it or just sitting there watching somebody else do it. So you're putting yourself out there. I'm going to talk a little bit with Obi about this later because we had an interesting conversation yesterday. But, you know, if you put yourself out there, things go wrong. Great cooks have bad days. So, you know, don't worry about it. It all makes a difference. The more you cook, the better you do. So even if you're at home and you're just getting into cooking for the family or grilling outside and, you know, trying a few new things, don't worry if it doesn't work the first time. You've got a lot of practice time ahead of you. So, you know, I just want to encourage you to continue to do it. And, you know, there's plenty of help out there on the Internet. You can go to just about any place. I'm going to actually, I wanted to mention Grilling with Rich. Rich competed a couple of weeks ago on American Grilled. And actually, you know, he has a Facebook page called Grilling with Rich. And he has a blog. And he has lots of information on there. I was on there. And Grill Girl, it's Grill and then it's Girl. Girl, I think it's how she really wanted it to be. But she was on the Today Show today. So Check out her website, and it's a personal blog, but she has contributors to there. I was on there the other day because somehow I received notice of a competition that she had for a Weber grill, and of course, you know, I'm a maniac for that stuff. So check out Grill Girl and check out Grilling with Rich. They've got lots of information on there. There's and Big Wayner, you know, Wayne does a lot of, I'm going to call it wrap-ups of different things, but there's other content on there. You know, so the Barbecue Brethren, there's a million places to find information and recipes out there. So don't hesitate, and don't be afraid to do that, okay? But another Florida information, I just kind of wanted to congratulate Rug Bagby. I think Rub has probably put in the most miles of any barbecue person this weekend, entertaining some schools as well as competing while out on the road, and saw a picture of him and Harry Sue from out Slap Your Mama's barbecue out in California. So that would have been a great class to have been part of. I actually, you know, emailed Rub and kind of jokingly said I should have been his traveling dish bitch, and I would have been happy to do that. But congratulations to him and any of the guys. I see Robbie Royal's got a class coming up. You can find it on Rescue Smokers. They posted it on my Facebook page. Also, there's an outline there. So there's classes all over. Anything you want to learn, it's out there. So the information is there, and it's there for the taking. So get out there and really pick up some new information, try something new. And speaking of something new, if you happen to pay attention, because I think a lot of barbecue people pay attention to what's going on by way of Facebook, and I try a lot of new things. My most recent thing, and I talked briefly about it last week, was making fresh bacon. And if you have not tried it, I mean, I've talked about making sausage before. I love to make sausage. This is a whole nother animal. No pun intended. It's really from the same animal, but it's very different to take a whole pork belly, cure it, and then this week I actually got to cook it. And I was going to slice it. You know, those of you who compete know that by slicing brisket or even ribs with an electric knife, I mean, it's hard to beat. Even the best people who carve, it really is hard to beat an electric knife. So I was planning to cut this slab, huge slab of bacon with an electric knife, and Rich from Mad Hunky Meats, he's like, no, no, also known as None Your Business on Facebook. But Rich said, man, cut it by hand and cut it thick. And the way I started to do it really is I hit it and kind of went after it like it was a brisket, and cut it about like I would cut perfectly cooked competition brisket, and it was that thick. And then, you know, the thing that he and Doug both said was to do it in a pan slowly to render out that fat. I've got to give credit. I gave both Rich and Doug Kyle's credit last week, but let me tell you, I used Doug's the ribs within, and I should run out here. I'm going to walk out here. I think it's his chicken rub. He had sent me three samples that was the contents of what he uses to do his bacon, but he forgot to send me the recipe. So in the meantime, Rich helped me. And as I look at it, yes, it's the chicken rub. We're on fire chicken rub. Well, it is, to me, it's a great finishing powder. It's got, you can tell it's got honey powder in there. Really like it. It's comparable, if not, sorry, David Bosca, if not better than Butcher's Honey Rub. And I love Butcher's Honey Rub. I mean, that's currently what I'm using, but I got to tell you, I'm really impressed with the ribs within, the chicken rub, and it's a doozy. And I actually, I know you're not really supposed to do this once you start your curing process, but once I got Doug's recipe, you know, a little late, I went ahead and put that honey chicken rub on top of the cure that I had on the bacon. And, man, let me tell you, when I cooked that stuff out, the flavor was amazing. So if you want to try something new, you can read up about bacon, too, just about anywhere. Check out the ribs within. I got the cure from rich, and then I put a peppery flavoring on it, but then I topped it so it has a little heat and that hint of sweet from the honey instead of like a maple or something overly sweet. It was, I got to tell you, it was really, really good. It would be something you'll be proud to give a few pieces to somebody. And it's kind of funny. I've had people ask me for it. Well, I ended up cutting the whole thing down except for like 2 inches because it was getting hard to hold. And then I just cut those in chunks to make beans out of. But, you know, now people are asking me for bacon. And I said to Leon that I actually had cooked it all. And he's like, well, that was a huge slab. But I gave, you know, 4 pieces away here and there. And you don't think that's very much, but that was like, I don't know, 1.5 inches worth of fresh, thick-cut bacon. And it was pretty tasty. So anyway, check that out and try that. You'll be glad you did, actually. I want to thank the Riverland newspaper. It's our local newspaper here. They sent out a photographer the other day. They're going to do a little story about me being on American Grill. And the funny thing is, they wanted to see, you know, like a little setup of how we might be set up at a contest. So with the new rig here and the toy hauler, we set it up like I might have used to set it up so that I could also display my sponsors while they were taking pictures. But Julie Mancini, who's a local gal here, she's a teacher, but she's a photographer during the summer. And I think she's also the local yearbook photographer sponsor there out at Dunellen High School. She actually volunteers to work with the paper during the summer, and she does some really great articles, so I'm anxious to see it. I really appreciate that she came out, and I sent her home with some ribs and a hobo pack of veggies, which I'm a big fan of hobo packs on the grill. If you've never done those, check out the I just did a little recipe article in Barbecue America last month, but it's just a foil packet where you can put anything in. I happen to really like doing veggies in there, but you can cook fish and chicken and anything that you want to almost steam within itself in a foil pack. I always call them hobo packs. They were called that 1 million years ago to me. I've heard people refer to them as scouting packs, too. So sent Julie home with those and really appreciate her time. Going to Lubbock, Texas next week for the Breast Fest, so very excited to get with Jennifer Campbell, and her husband John is actually the organizer out there, so we'll be looking forward to that. Want to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elser. The beef juice is out. It's going to be available. I think it's the 30th. So tomorrow I'll be looking for a new batch to hit the market, and it's a 4-to-1 concentrate. You're going to be super happy with it, and I know he's trying to keep it affordable, but you got to remember, it's that concentrated. The one mistake that people will make, and him and I have talked about that, that it'll be so, you're just going to go, I feel like I need to put more in there. Don't do it. It's 4-to-1, and you'll have great, great success with it. Mac Daddy Smokers, they just had another Mac Daddy Challenge. Want to congratulate the guys. One of them said that, you know, oh, missed you this weekend. Those guys are totally committed out there, not just the guys, you know, coming to learn, and most of them are very intent on learning, and they're branching out, which is great to see. You know, Carter Q just won. I think they won this past week, and I saw that Josh and Jared won, and they've done a great job. They have really paid attention to what people have helped them do. So really congratulations to all them. And to Billy and Jen, they're at Mac Daddy Smokers. That's a huge undertaking to accomplish, and so hats off to them in helping with that educational effort out there. I'd like to thank Rec Tech Pellet Cookers. And cookatpellets.com, they really go together. You know, the actual cooker, RecTech, is calibrated for the use of cooking pellets, and super, super efficient. I had when Julie came out from the paper the other day, I had every cooker going, and I had more food on there than I was going to feed to 25, well, probably to about 40 people. So Dad was fed pretty well, and one of the neighbors was fed pretty well, and we've been eating for 3 days on it. But, she was interested in that the pellet cooker. A lot of mainstream America still haven't been introduced to a pellet cooker that's affordable or that they see as affordable. You know, to me, the RecTech's affordable. They're coming out with a smaller version, a tailgating version of that, much like another pellet company. And, you know, those are affordable. It's just something you wouldn't leave set up. These, you know, mine is $1,000. Roll it in and out. You could. The cover that they sent with it is super heavy, so it really keeps it nice if it had to be outside. So if you haven't thought about a pellet cooker, definitely one for the arsenal. And then I'd like to thank Royal Oak Charcoal, both the briquettes. I use the briquettes in the lump. I'm not like Jim Berg, who gets the ultra super-duper king version of Royal Oak, and it's definitely royal. But I use the red bag, and I'm super happy with the lump. I seem to use more lump than the briquettes, but I always do a little back with the briquettes to feed the fire a little bit longer. And, of course, Pirate 50, Dale, does an amazing job. I actually saw some trophies he posted on Facebook today that look like surfboards out there. So, you know, if you have a contest and you want something different, check out Pirate 50 custom artwork and trophies. He really does some dynamite work. And as you go to competitions and you look around, there's lots and lots of sight signs out there for people. So thanks to all of them. I really appreciate what they've done for me. Now, tonight's going to be kind of weird. I've got a gal calling in, and she'll be calling in a few more minutes here, but she's actually at a baseball game in Tampa, so I'm anxious to see if we'll be able to hear the crowd go wild. But you know, with live radio, we're always patient, and for anybody to find time to come on and talk about their event, I'm super happy to have them on. So I was looking at a couple other things that I'm trying to contact people for interviews. And once in a while, people listening to the show will email me and say, hey, you know, could you do something on this? Or I know this guy. Or somebody will, like today, Girls Do Barbecue in Jacksonville. They happen to share my link, and I hadn't seen them out there before. And then I kind of reached out to them and said, hey, what are you guys doing? It's amazing just how big the cooking world is. So in branching into that, because I don't just do only barbecue, I have been watching Frankenfood on Spike. And if you haven't seen Frankenfood, I got a invitation to apply for it. You know, last year the FBA actually, Matt Barber and I got that. We actually got a VIP audition with MasterChef because of the Florida Barbecue Association, and I actually got an invitation for Frankenfood. But when I was looking at it, I didn't think it was something, I'm like, I don't want to just throw a bunch of crap together and it's going to be awful. It it isn't like that at all. And it's too bad I didn't actually apply, because I've had some really good ideas. I just didn't think they fit the theme. I am looking and have reached out and called some of the people who have participated in Frankenfood, both as contestants and as restaurants. And I have not been successful in getting a hold of anybody. So if you are somebody out there that can help with that, let me know. I would really appreciate it. You can reach out to me by Facebook. And I'm going to just take this call because I know who it is. And what's the word, turd?
I just figured I'd show bomb you, you know, kind of like a photo bomb, show bomb.
Yeah, you're a show bomb, and I'm sorry that I just did that. But Jim and I go back and forth with what's the word, turd. So bird is the word. So are you filled up for this weekend? I saw that you called in.
Yeah. Just real quick. I actually have just two spots available right now.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure those will fill up because I've had a lot of interest. So if you're thinking about it, get a hold of me. And I'll, you know, if you're want to come and, you know, you can't pay for it, just, you know, in the next couple of days, you know, I'll put you on the list, and then, you know, you can bring your check or, you know, money when you come there this weekend. So I don't want to leave you out here if you're on the fence there.
Yeah, and I know that you'll do a dynamite class. You're going to do Saturday and Sunday though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so just kind of give us a quick rundown about it. Since
we're gonna start. It's gonna be in Davenport, Florida, which is on the, it's right up the road from me at SeaWorld RV Resort. So if you have your competition trailer or RV, we got discounted rates. You can come in on Friday, We're going to start the class at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and we're just going to follow, you know, I'm going to do what I do at a contest. I'm not going to hold anything back. We're going to trim, you know, do trimming of meats, a meat selection. We're going to talk about sauces, different types of rubs. We're just going to follow the, you know, an FBA contest. And then on Sunday, we'll do chicken turn-in at 11, and we'll have ribs at noon, pork at 1, and brisket at 2. And I'm going to have judges there. So they're going to actually judge, you know, the product. And, the people there, you know, they can ask, you know, the judges what they're looking for, you know, what we presented them, why they scored it, you know, a certain way. It's going to be, you know, you're going to learn what I do at a during a contest, and then you're going to actually learn what the judges, you know, these particular judges are looking for.
Yeah, and that'll be invaluable to get that quick feedback for somebody too, Jim. I mean, you really have thought this out. I'm sure that you'll have a hugely successful class, and then you won't be able to keep up, and then you won't be able to judge or to compete anymore.
I know. I got some teams that I'm not going to name any names, but I got some teams that I'm like, man, these guys are just like right there on the verge, and I'm like, I'm gonna teach them what I'm doing. So there's gonna be some teams that, you know, come out of this class that, you know, you better watch out for, because I've been known to, you know, tell a lot of different things out there just on a Friday, you know, Thursday night, Friday night, you know, with a little, you know, alcohol in me, and I just like to help people. So
yeah.
I'm not going to hold back.
Well, and since we have a couple minutes, and I always have time, I can talk about what I had here another time. We see that you are, in fact, creating a new, I'm going to call it a juice box.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the new cooker.
This has been in the works and the design for probably a couple of years. I haven't had the time and the room to do it. And then, you know, I got my new shop, and we have the room, and now the summertime's a little bit, you know, I've got a week off here and there. And me and Garrett, my son, you know, we had this, you know, we put together this, I don't even know what it's going to be called yet. But it's going to be a hybrid of what I'm cooking on now, the drums, but it's going to be insulated. And it's going to be, I know several people remember when I first started, I had this big cabinet smoker, and that was the best rib cooker I've ever cooked on. And I've been struggling with rib, and it was too big for me to lug around, especially when, Garrett was doing his own thing, and I was going to the competitions myself.
Right.
It's just too big to lug around to do 6 racks of ribs, so... This cooker that, you know, I posted on my on Facebook, it's about 33 inches wide by 24 inches deep, so, and it's not very big. So
yeah.
It'll be able to hold 10 full pans.
How many?
10.
Really?
Yes. So there'll be option for 5 racks. I'm not going to pack it that full, but there's enough space for 5 racks of 2 full pans.
Wow, I would have never guessed that. So that's amazing just from looking at it. I wouldn't have thought could have put that much material
in
there.
I just hopefully it turns out as well as, you know, like that in the plans. And it's going to have a couple extra features that I'm not sure, you know, there's many cookers out there that have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, this has been in the works for a couple of years, you know, what I've cooked on and what I've learned for, you know, different types of smokers I've cooked on, what I've liked and disliked about each one. So I'm just hoping that, you know, when I get it finished, you know, I'll be satisfied how it performs. So only time will tell.
And I'm sure it will do well, or you will never see it on the market until it is right. Talking briefly about that, are you going to have beef juice for the folks this weekend?
Yes. It'll be on my website on Thursday. So Thursday.
On Thursday?
So you can order it on Thursday.
Yeah, I hate to tell you this, Jim, but, you know, this thing called work, it really is starting to get in your way.
Yeah, I talk about that every day, you know. It's just like, you know, different people like, yeah, this is getting in the way. You know, I'm burning the midnight oil, and right now I'm getting ready for this class, and, you know, I hit, you know, I'm feeling a lot better from my, you know, back surgery I had. You know, every day gets better, and I'm finally getting back to where I want to go off, you know, come home from my day job and work till 11, 12 o'clock at night. You know, this weekend
right.
I spent pretty much all weekend at, you know, at shops until like midnight, you know, just doing things over there. So I got my energy back up, and I'm getting focused, and, you know, two more contests in the FBA. Hopefully I can hold off Matt Barber, and it'll be a very successful year.
Okay, so you're going to Bainbridge. Are you going to Hobbs or not?
I put an email out to somebody, text out today to somebody and asked if they were going. My brother lives in Vegas, and he said that he would drive. I have some equipment out there, so he would drive some things out, you know, out there for me. I need to make that decision within the next week to get
well,
some, you know, some plans together. But I would love to come out there and compete. And you know, I think Mark, you know, would like some of us Florida guys to come out there, and I'm going to do everything in my.
He would love for that to happen, and that would be so
great. I'm
going
to do everything possible to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, Jim, I'm so happy about everything is just kind of coming together for you, and, you know, it's like you're my little brother. You know, it's great to see things coming together for you, and I'm looking forward to you bringing home that Team of the Year this year. And not that we don't love Matt, because we love Matt, but, you know, last year was exciting enough. I'd like to see you take it home.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the wire again. I don't
know
what points are like, but you can't count Matt out. So it'll be, you know, he's going to be at both contests. So it's going to be a heavyweight battle to the probably the last call again.
Hey, wait a second!
It makes it exciting for everybody and nerve wracking for the both of us. You know, we both went
Hobbs
through it last year.
Hobbs is after
yes.
the Fun Cup.
Yes. Yeah.
So that doesn't count for this year.
No. Nope.
So just Bainbridge and what else? Am I missing another contest?
Bainbridge and Panama City. We got,
oh, that's right.
Bainbridge is in 2 weeks. Panama City is in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and then,
I forgot about Panama City. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Jim, good luck to you, and I will probably probably talk to you tomorrow, okay?
All right. Thanks, Lori.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, that's Jim Elzer, Sweet Smoke, theletterq.com. And, again, he's got two spots left for the class this weekend, and you can check him out. And thanks for calling. You're one of my sponsors. And we're going right to our guest. Carrie, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here, yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear you really good. I said, you know, now our first guest is going to be at a baseball game, so if we hear, yay, it won't just be about what she's talking about.
Darn it. I was going to try to convince everybody that they were cheering for me.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got Carrie Farrell here, and we're talking about the contest that you've got coming up, but I want to talk about several things. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming contest.
Sure. Last weekend of September, we have Porktoberq, which is an Oktoberfest-themed barbecue competition in Dothan, Alabama. It's KCBS-sanctioned, and we're just really excited. I'm personally excited. This was kind of a brainchild. I was sitting around drinking beer one day, as many great brainchilds are stemmed from such, and I'm German by nature. I mean, my dad was from Germany, and we were going, gosh, we don't have an Oktoberfest here in Dothan, Alabama. And so it was sort of born out of that, a desire to drink beer, and we thought, what can we do with beer that's a lot of fun? And, of course, barbecue is the answer to that.
Yep.
So, you know, we decided to create Porktoberq.
When I saw the name, I just thought that was adorable.
Well, thanks.
And is this the first year?
No, this is actually the third year for Porktoberq. the first year... We kind of really, we didn't have too many people show up spectator-wise, about 2,200. And then the second year, we actually had 6,200 people come out. First year, we had, I think, 25 teams. Second year, we had 28 teams. And we've increased the prize money this third year. The first 2 years, we can only offer $5,000 in prize money. But this year, we are just really committed to making it bigger and better, so we're offering $7,500 in prize money this year.
Great, great. Now, what is the charity that this is aimed towards?
It's the Regional Land Water Rescue, and it's a group of volunteers that basically, say, an Alzheimer's person wanders off, or a kid's been playing by the river and is missing. These are the group of volunteers that get in the boats, they get on horses, they get on four-wheelers, and they go searching for folks. And a good group of people, just spectacular the work that they do. And so they work the gates and get the proceeds from the gates and such for their organization.
Wow, that's great. So you have a big volunteer base there.
We do. We do. Yeah. And besides the Regional Land Water Rescue that benefits directly, we offer at Porktober Q free booth spaces to nonprofits who would like to get out there and solicit funds, have a drawing, just raise awareness. And I think we're up to, maybe 13 or 14 nonprofits that have taken us up on that offer and will be out there benefiting as well.
Well, and, you know, I've had other organizers on, and I make a big deal about, and you did something special, too. You came around prior to your FBA contest. You came to Marianna, and you came to – did you come to Tallahassee also?
I did not this year. I had in previous years, but it fell on something else this year.
Yeah, I know you walked Marianna, and you had gone to make sure that Forrest Dilmer's mama would still take all our trailers. And I got to tell you, it was really hard to tell you. I just couldn't drive that far again, you know. But you worked that contest, and then recently, and I'm sure I wasn't the only person you did this to, and this is what said – you need to get you on to promote this, but you actually sent Facebook messages to different people and said, hey, I don't have your spot reserved yet. Are you coming? And I thought, oh, my God, dig you. So,
well, thanks. And I plan on going out to Bainbridge in a couple weeks and going down to Panama City in a few more weeks and just talking to the teams because as an organizer, I mean, I think that's one of the better ways to get out there and let the teams put a face to the contest. You know, I'm
absolutely
just not some big machine out there putting on events. I love barbecue. I love what I do in my community by putting on events, and I hope that the barbecue teams can kind of sense that and want to participate.
Well, what do you do for a living, Carrie?
I put on barbecue contests.
is that
what I do for a living.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, long story short, I have a company called The Main Event, and we had been putting on events for nonprofits in the community. And maybe about 5 years ago, they started drying up. As the economy went bad, nonprofits stopped taking that gamble of putting on large festivals and events. And I really liked the Tri-State Barbecue Festival, and the March of Dimes and the city had given that up. And they said, if you want it, you can have it. And I said, heck yeah, I love that festival. That's in the springtime, and so I pretty much steered my company a little bit more towards working on two barbecue festivals a year to benefit our community here in Denison, and it's been great. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I'm not saying I'm the most profitable person in the world, but it's been a tremendous amount of fun.
That's great. And so while we're talking about, you've got this coming up at the end of September, and I think Porktoberfest, I would can't wait to see your T-shirt. Because that's got to be a hoot. Then you put on the FBA contest, and why don't you tell us a little bit about that one, too?
Yeah, this coming up year will be our 10th year for the Tri-State Barbecue Festival. It's the second weekend in April. And the first year I went as a spectator, and the second year I went as a volunteer. And by the third year I was running the darn thing. It's a crazy thing, but I love the FBA, and I love, you know, the family sort of feeling that the FBA members have, and it's a great contest, and I just hope that it continues to get bigger and better every year.
Now, when you're talking about, I was just judging at a contest, and there really were, like, no spectators, because it's very difficult for somebody to, I think, effectively figure out how to bring in spectators. What kind of recommendation would you have? Because that's pretty successful for a few years.
Yeah, you really kind of have to, I think, as an event organizer, step back and realize that there are two separate and distinct things happening. You have a barbecue competition, and, you know, the teams and the judges and the reps have their own special needs and requirements, and so you're running that, but at the same time you have to think, wow, we also have a festival here. What mm-hmm. what can we provide for the spectators to do, and how can we get them to interact with the barbecue teams? Or, you know, that's the biggest complaint generally that I've heard yep. from barbecue festivals is that the spectators go and they can't find enough barbecue, or it wasn't the all-you-can-eat buffet that they thought it was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's just we tried Tri-State. We have incorporated, like, cooking classes and demonstrations.
Nice.
And that's been really effective for that. At Pork Barbecue, we tend to pull a little bit more from the German theme. We have a polka. We have a beer garden where we have two different polka bands that alternate throughout the weekend. And, you know, beer and barbecue is a good hit, so
right.
that was a no-brainer. And, you know, we have a car show. We have the Ultimate
okay.
Air Dogs coming to do a dock diving competition. And it's just pulling as much as we can. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I almost got hit by a foul ball. I start cursing. It's not my Tourette's. A foul ball just came, like, literally within inches of my head.
And you were looking for someplace quiet.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm outside the stadium, and I figured I would just sort of, anyway, be quiet over here. And I'm sorry, I've been distracted. So,
well, I'm glad we still have you with us.
Yeah. It was crazy.
What game are you down there at?
I'm at the Tampa Bay their Class A team has a club here. And now I'm trying to hit the ball from 50 little kids that are running after it. Thanks. So, thank you. I just got a souvenir. Okay.
Oh, did you get the ball?
I'm holding it in my hand.
Well,
awesome.
Put it in your pocket.
Okay. So, anyway, I'm at the Tampa-based, their single-A, little scrubby team. It's called
uh-huh.
the Stone Crabs, and it's down in Port Charlotte, Florida. And they're
oh,
playing
yeah,
the single-A team from... Yeah, I'm down in
wow.
almost your neck of the woods.
Yep. Well, that's where I used to be from, down there. Now I'm up in Den Ellen, so, yeah, I used
okay.
to be from Fort Myers. Yeah, so you're really toasty down there.
Yeah, it's nice and warm.
Yeah. Okay, so you're working the other aspect... of the festival. Love your idea, and I'm sorry I haven't been to the Tri-County, but the cooking demonstrations and any kind of little classes, your spectators have to love.
Yeah, they really do, and we've been lucky. We've been able to find some sponsors that will cover the cost of those cooking demonstrations.
Nice.
One year, Ben Lang came, and he brought a nice big Lang pit, and they cooked a whole hog.
Oh,
and that was cool because
oh.
that's something a lot of people haven't ever seen.
Right.
And then they, like, sliced it open and we devoured it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great thing for a festival for people to see that have never seen that. I mean, they can see it on TV. It just doesn't look the same, does it?
No. And when you can taste it, I still have people, Ben came a couple years ago. I think 2012, but I still have people talking about that whole hog demonstration.
Really?
And, you know, yeah, absolutely. And if I can find someone else to do that demo again, I would incorporate it immediately because it was such a hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now, for your spectators on something like that, do you actually charge for that, or is that part of the gate fee?
That's part of the gate. You know, when we started doing the Tri-State in the spring a number of years ago, and people always had suggestions, which is cool. And so the Tri-State, it was like $10 to get in, and everything inside was free, like the inflatables for the kids, the cooking demos, and the People's Choice tasting on Saturday. So I always had people would say, well, why don't you let people in free and charge for that stuff? So Porktober-Q in the fall is kind of the polar opposite. We charge a nominal $3 to get in. And that's just kind of to keep the riffraff out and to help the regional land water rescue make money.
Right.
And then when you get inside, if you want to do the the tasting tin, it's $10. But the Northview High School, which is our local high school, their athletic association does that as their fundraiser.
Oh,
so
wow.
All the money goes to them. So,
wow, so, yeah, so you've got people that are supporting it. You know, the nice thing is for you to have 6,500 people last year, that's pretty good for spectators on a contest where you only have 28 teams.
Yeah, but like I said, you kind of have to think of it as two separate things.
Yeah.
I'm having a barbecue competition. I'm having a festival.
Right.
What can we
right.
do to help the teams and judges have a good time? What can we do to have the spectators have a good time?
Yeah.
So,
well, and it does seem, and I think you'll agree, the more entities that you get involved, they're bringing their group, the more that will follow.
That, absolutely. That's no coincidence. But yeah.
No, that's great. So is there anything else that you've got coming up that you want to promote?
Not really. I mean, Porktoberque, the last weekend of September, we still have room for teams, and we'd love to have some more teams sign up. It is KCBS sanctioned, but, gosh, we'll take anybody from any sanctioning body or any organization that wants to compete. And then second weekend of April, that's the Tri-State Barbecue Festival, and that's pretty much what's keeping me busy. And believe it or not, two barbecue contests a year in one small town, that'll keep you busy.
Sure. Well, Dothan's not that small, but... oh crud! Is it on the same grounds, both of those contests?
It is. It
okay.
is, and it's the Houston County Farm Center. They've been fantastic with us as far as working with us on a reasonable rental fee, and
right.
We're happy to utilize that facility.
And how many teams will that hold?
We can hold 42
pros,
and that's at a 20x40 spot. And that's with each team having their own water and electrical hookup. And then we have an annex area where we can hold another 18 to 20. And that's with, like, splitters on the hoses, you know, some sort of octopus-looking thing that we create. So that's kind of our secondary backup area. So we can handle a good 60 teams if we need to.
Oh, wow. And that's probably the ultimate goal, to get to something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be cool to have the entry fee equal to prize money someday. But
yeah.
We'll get there. You know, it's a growing process. It took us a good 10 years on the Tri-State to get where we are, and I know Porktoberque, the way it's growing, it should get there soon, too.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you, and, you know, keep us posted. Since you say you have room for teams, how many teams do you have room for still?
I think we can handle another 20 to 24, actually.
Oh, okay.
On our website, porktoberque.com, if you click on competition and teams, it'll show you who's competing, where they're from, and what space they've selected. Because as long as we have room, we let folks select whatever spot they'd like, and then we just add them to the map. So you get a real-time update on that.
Yeah, that's great. The other question I was going to ask, and you kind of just alluded to it, is where are you drawing from? What areas?
Well, you know, Florida Panhandle, north of Lakeland in Florida, Georgia, Alabama. We actually have, strangely enough, this was fun and odd, but we had a team from California call us and explained Porktoberque to them. We talked about it quite a bit. And so they're flying out from California to compete in Porktoberque. So that's a new one for us.
That's great. How did that come about? Because that's kind of an eyeball. Are they incorporating it into a vacation?
Well, yeah, I want to say that, oh, we're just awesome and they flew out to see us, but their daughter's going to school at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and they're competing the week after somewhere up in Tennessee. So they're
cool.
flying in, doing Porktoberque, visiting their daughter, competing in Tennessee, and then headed back to California.
Wow. So they've got that worked out. You know, logistically, it's just like before you called, Jim had called in, and you know,
mm-hmm.
there's some guys thinking about going to Hobbs, New Mexico, and logistically, if you borrow stuff and beg stuff to show up there, that's great when you fly in. But, you know, even in a place like Hobbs, they say the closest airport's 2 hours. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, don't think no metropolis. So I didn't ask where they're flying into from California, but it's probably going to be Panama City Beach or Tallahassee or even Birmingham.
Well, and see, that's where I would think would be Birmingham, but is Tallahassee closer?
I'll buy about an hour and a half, maybe, but if their daughter's up in Tuscaloosa, that might be the more logical point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck to you. I know you work hard. Like I said, I thought that was amazing for you to post that on mine. I know you did it to other people, too. And
yeah.
It's like that's when you really see people working their contests. The gal who did Discovery out there in South Carolina, she showed up in Evans, Georgia to work the crowd. And, you know, teams appreciate that because you make us feel important. And, I mean, I know you need people to sign up, but it is that extra step that you're doing to make it important to a team.
Well, thanks, but without a team and without the teams, you wouldn't have a competition. So you have
Absolutely.
To keep teams, like, in the forefront, you know?
Yeah, well, not everybody goes overboard. I mean, everybody talks so highly about the Dothan contest for the Tri-State for FBA. Like I said, I hated to tell you I wasn't coming back up because everybody's like, you've got to come to Dothan. It's such a great contest. They all talk very highly of the contest.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Maybe I'll guilt you into participating one of these times. You never know.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much. Have a blast down there and enjoy your souvenir, and I'm glad it didn't hit you in the head.
I know. Thanks, Lori. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Bye.
There you've got it. You've got Carrie Farrell with Porktoberfest, and you can go to porktoberq.com to find out about the competition there the last weekend in September. And, again, the Tri-State contest, Dothan, Alabama, in April. So let's go back to where we were before. I'm glad that she could call in. I knew that it was going to be a shortened version to chat with her. And while I wait for the other guys to call in, just a reminder of what I was talking about prior to Jim calling in was if you're somebody out there that might know of a participant in Frankenfood that would like to participate, or you have a contact number, email that to me at Lori, L-O-R-I, at barngoddessbbq.com, or Facebook private message me, because I have reached out to some of them. I think it would be fun to hear that version of a food competition. So, and I'm also, I mean, I started looking at all these. You've got, you know, Danielle, Diva Q's Barbecue Crawl is back on. Food Fighters is on now. And I would like to congratulate one of the FBA guys, Chad Ward, is participating in Food Fighters. So congratulations to Chad. There's some other people that have competed in the Food Chopped, along with Chad before. Ken Rollins is going to be part of that. And I'd like to have Ken on. He's the chuck wagon cook. I think he would be an awesome interview. So maybe that's somebody we want to get in there. But you've got American Grill. Knife Wars is repeating. I was having a barbecue pitmaster overload because I still had some that I had watched that I had DVR'd. And today, while I, you know, usually on Tuesdays, all I can think about is interviewing and making sure everything kind of comes together. And so I was watching Barbecue Pitmasters, and, you know, David Bosca, an old FFA guy, you know, he serves on his local alumni for Future Farmers of America, but, you know, he's a butcher, and he's got great products. And, you know, I watched that final, the finale with him and Lene and Rod Gray, and I kind of pride myself in I could cook on anything, but if you day in and day out cook on a single type of cooker and then you're thrown a stick burner and you've never been on one, I felt in pain for him because I know, and anybody that uses a stick burner knows that if you're doing it, you're doing it by choice because you like the results. So somebody who chooses to use a pellet cooker or some kind of insulated gravity or even an insulated firebox like the Jambos or something, you go to a regular stick burner with a offset and you are feeding it wood all night. You know, if you haven't seen that finale with Lene Oxley and Rod Gray and David Boska, you know, David is almost, he seems like he's almost in pain. And, you know, to watch them fight through that, that's kind of the commitment that we all do in these cooking competitions. And, you know, I was talking about contest cooks, and I would like to congratulate Sherry Williams, who is on my segment of American Grilled. And she recently was on my show. We were talking about her winning the Macy's Grilling Guru there in where did she go for that? I guess she went to Chicago for that. And then she just was in – or no, she went to New York for that. She was just in Chicago for something else. And Mrs. Dash, she just won a recipe contest for an Italian shrimp dish, and she won $5,000. So congratulations to her. She is on a spree, and then you'll be able to see Sherry compete next week with me and Daniel Waters and Dana Hillis. Dana has been kind of quiet about this because he's got so much other – it's not like he's being quiet, but he's got so much other stuff going on in the state of Florida. We know him as Big Papa, and he kind of is a Big Papa to everybody. But, you know, Dana's been extremely busy. I'm hoping – I mean, I will be – I will have to kill him if he doesn't come on the week after we're on. So, you know, next Wednesday we'll be on – American Grill, and then the following week I hope to have the four of us come on and talk about the show and our different parts. So certainly I'm planning on Dana being available, but like I said, Big Papa's been busy, and I think he's one of the individuals from Florida planning to go to Hobbs, New Mexico. So as Jim and I were talking, that Hobbs contest is just after our team of the year will be announced. So it's literally the first contest. It's the first contest of the new year for us. Our contest points in the state of Florida ends for Labor Day weekend, which I think was a really smart thing that the directors here did, where they changed it to that because that's our fun cook. That's really what it is. It's a good time. There's no points awarded. But two weeks ago already, I had Forrest Dillmore on talking about the Dutch oven class that he'll be putting on. Oh, my gosh, or was that last week? No, that wasn't last week. That's 2 weeks ago already. I'll tell you what, these weeks kind of start turning together. But, you know, Forrest does such a great job looking forward to his Dutch oven cooking. He's participating in it. And you know what? I think that actually was last week, so I forgot to thank him. He spends time, much like Jim Elzer, you know, if you call him and you have a question, he will spend time talking to you about it. And there's several of us taking his class, and he found a site for us to all go and check different things on Dutch oven. And there, again, what I was talking about at the top of the hour, that there's so much stuff out there. If you're a new cook to contest cooking of any sort, you can find lots and lots of information. And the Dutch oven cooking is another example of that. So whether you're going to start Dutch oven cooking, and it does go hand in hand with barbecue. I see, as a matter of fact, I was watching this Pitmaster show today, and much like I carry Dutch ovens, it's on my Mac Daddy on the rack. Well, now I'm starting to carry more than just one, which gets ridiculous because of the weight, but I'm noticing other people with Dutch ovens in their grills or on the bottom shelf of their grills. On Pitmasters, one of the guys today that I was rewatching something, I didn't remember him searing something in a Dutch oven. He cranked it up on the cooker, cranked it up, seared something in it, and then put it into the smoker. So, you know, it goes hand in hand. There's tons of information out there to find. Now, I'm waiting for Obie Maples to call in, and he's going to be our first guest on the on this next hour for American Grilled. And I just want to mention that last week's judges in the state of Florida, Culpepper was one of the judges, and I was going to try and reach out to him to see if I could catch him on a short interview, and I may still be able to get him to do something, but actually Cole organizes a contest in Jacksonville, and the host, David Goss, actually refers to him as a barbecue guru. So I will say he was very informative. Culpepper definitely knows a lot about the state of Florida. He was spouting off information, and, you know, the Travel Channel doesn't only present you with, you know, the grilling competition part of it, but they're actually highlighting a particular area. It is the Travel Channel, and so they're looking for you to go, hey, maybe I want to go to Jacksonville. You know, as long as I've been in Florida since 1981 and did lots of business in the plant business as well as in the bird business in Jacksonville, I never heard it called the first coast of Florida. So that was kind of something. I mean, I guess that's a regular comment, and I'm going to talk to the boys about that later, but I'd never heard it called that. And so it was pretty interesting to have him on last week as a judge. And then Claire Robinson, you know, again, Leon doesn't watch all the cooking shows that I watch, but Claire is Five Ingredients Fix, Five Ingredients Made Easy. No, it's Mexican Made Easy, and Five Ingredients Fix. I should look. I've got a DVR of hers. She has some of the coolest recipes that are really five ingredients. And, you know, it doesn't include salt, pepper, or water. I think those are not considered ingredients. But I'll tell you, I've kept a show of hers because I like seeing it on there because it reminds me to make it. But she has an amazing cranberry relish. You know, people either love or hate cranberries. I can't stand those jellied things that are in a can. So I always try to make something new and fresh. And she likes a little bit of heat. And she has a cranberry relish that I actually have altered, but she gave me the idea for it in her five-ingredient recipes with jalapenos in it. And it's absolutely, if you want to prepare a bright relish at Christmas time that you don't want the same old sweet crap that everybody puts on the table, and I hate to say that, but because, you know, they're a staple from your childhood, and they're probably reminiscent of an earlier time. But let's face it, they suck. So if you ever want to check something, go on foodnetwork.com, and under Claire Robinson, put in, I just put in Claire Robinson's cranberry relish. And I'll tell you, it's easy, and it's amazing. And cranberries, when they come in, that's one of the things you can pick up cheap. And because of my experience with birds love cranberries. And when they're cheap, I'll buy several bags of them and freeze them. And because of the birds I used to have, I would just take them out and give them to the birds. Well, you can buy cranberries and freeze them. They hold very well. You could put them in a, like, cryopack them or something to really make sure they don't get freezer burned or what have you. But you could hold them for quite a while, and you could make relish. You know, it's just like zucchini relish or zucchini bread. You know, in Florida, we don't have to wait to make that, you know, only in the summer like I had to wait when I lived up north. We can make that year-round down here. Same thing with that. You freeze those and pull cranberries out, you can make that relish in no time. And I tell you, it'd be good with fish, or it's good with anything. It's good with turkey. But just a thought there, and again, I was excited to see that. If you've seen the commercial coming out on ours, we've got Grill Girl, who was on the Today Show, is one of our judges. And I will say, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, check out her blog and check out Grilling with Riches. You'll be glad you did. If you're interested in cooking of any sort, and actually, Sherry Williams, she has a Facebook page that always has tons of recipes on it. It's called Cooking with Love and Passion. A great page to go to, as well as one of my favorite date night doings, Ken and Patty Fisher. That's datenightdoings.com. That's another group. He's actually a grill master for, and I want to make sure I say this right, Louisiana Grills. And what he does is come up with grilling ideas for two people. And so Date Night Doings, he's always got something wild cooking on the grill. And the other thing that he does is he's big with cooking, barbecuing actually, meats and going to the farmer's market. The ironic thing is I love that idea so much that when I wasn't competing, I thought, you know, I could go do that too. And in our area, it just can't be done. They will not allow for it. So check in your area if you're a barbecue or a griller. You know, there's money to be made doing that. Ken seems to, and he's in the San Diego area, he runs out and he does tri-tips, which is big California item. It's not necessarily so big here. I know Tracy Smith down at T. Weston Smokehouse, he does tri-tip there, and he does a great job with it. But not every restaurant does tri-tip because it's just different enough that some people don't even know to order it. So anyway, just some things around the area that makes it a little bit different. And I mentioned T. Weston Steakhouse. If you are looking for a mom-and-pop, good barbecue, and you're in this area, when I say this area, I'm going to say north of Orlando to Gainesville. If you're coming up there and heading to a Gator game and you want to try something different, in Wildwood, they have a great little place. I've had Tracy on a couple of times. We've kind of followed him, you know, looking at somebody who found something he really liked to do and was trying to figure out a way to make it work and make it pay the bills. And what he did is he and his wife purchased a foreclosed property that was nearly completed inside for a restaurant. And it had been a restaurant before, so I don't want to say he just, you know, started from scratch or anything, but a guy had actually taken it over to revamp it and then lost it in a foreclosure, and they picked it up right on 301. And it's in a great location. You know, Wildwood is a small little town, but it's close to a lot of stuff. So if you're ever coming by there, they have very good food. My dad and I have been down there a couple of times. You know, my dad's 83, and if I don't go to lunch with him twice a week, you know, he's traumatized. So I have to go, and we're always looking for someplace new, and we've gone down to check it out, and they do a great job. So check them out. All right, Obi, where are you, man? I'm waiting on you here. We're waiting on Obi, and I've got Alex and Obi, both from Jacksonville, living in Jacksonville, calling in tonight to talk about their adventures. I'm trying to also watch the TV. I need to record. I just started watching the Food Fighter thing, so you have to DVR that. I don't even know who's on tonight, but I had to get that taken care of, too. See, I don't think you can watch too many cooking shows if you're into it. I think Leon would disagree with me, but I don't think if you're into that sort of thing, you would disagree. So let me think. I had some other stuff here while we wait on Obi or Alex to call in. Just a little bit of background also from last week. The other two contestants were Jeff Altman, who was a nuisance wildlife guy, which was pretty funny, and then Brian Snell. I didn't know Brian from barbecue competitions. He said he's been around for 4 years. Some of the other guys in FBA probably know him. I don't know if he's cooking on the pro side yet. A lot of times backyard, and I meant to ask Carrie if they had a backyard division there in Dothan. Some of the contests have backyard divisions, and, you know, guys will opt to stay in the backyard division for an indefinite amount of time. We don't have any regulations. I mean, if they want to stay, I think Ricky Newman said they were doing backyard for about 7 years because they were busy playing. You know, they weren't being as serious as they probably you know, are now when they go to a contest, not that they're very serious when they go, but they wait at some time to enter into the pro division. There isn't anything that says if you've won one grand championship in the backyard or two that you have to move up. So guys will make, you know, and Tom Thorne, he was just in Madeira Beach not too long ago, and he is stepping into the pro round, and he makes a comment that, you know, people busted his chops, and he's won quite a bit, and so now he's going into the pro division. But there is nothing that says you have to. It's still all about coming out and having a good time. And if you're going to spend money, I guess you want to make some money along the way, too. But I will say, and I won't mention his name, but one of the buddies of mine that I actually competed with in the one backyard contest I did, he said he stays in the backyard because he knows after doing it for the length of time that he's doing it that he's going to go home with some money. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. I'm sure that if Jim Elzer's listening, he's going, yes, there is. Because if you're not at that winning point yet and you have an opportunity to do catering or go to a contest, you're probably selecting to do the contest or the catering because you know you're coming home with a check. All right, so as we wait for Obi, I'm looking here to see what else is going on. I just want to remind you that Barbecue Superstars, they're here six nights a week, and Daryl is still doing his show in the morning. Now, when we go to Lubbock, we'll be live streaming all day on Friday, and that's next week, and then we'll be on and off all day on Saturday till after the awards on the Saturday at the Breast Fest. So you can check us out on Barbecue Superstars livestream.com. It'll be barbecuesuperstars.com. It'll be live streaming. You can check us out there. And then probably that Friday night, I will do the Friday Night Lights and walk around and get a chance. That's a blog talk show. I'll walk around and get a chance to chat with the other guys that are there, because that's really what it's all about, is interviewing, in Lubbock we'll be interviewing probably the mayor and get some of the big sponsors from the contest on too, but, you know, we'd like to get around and see as many teams as we possibly can. Last week, or I guess it's 2 weeks ago already, at Swanee, I really saw quite a few people that I didn't know, and I saw lots of really interesting cookers. I saw some cookers I'd never seen before. So, you know, one of the things about getting out and about is you get to see some things that are different. I'm actually looking for my phone to make sure that one of these boys haven't tried to call my cell, because every once in a while that happens too. Make sure we don't lose somebody here. Let's see. I got a note here from Jim Elzer, two spots left, which is great. Well, I think if I can find Obi's number here, we might just call him, because I know he was working. And Alex is coming back. This is what happens with live radio, guys. No matter how you plan it, some things happen. Alex is coming back from us. Let's see. Well, the other thing about the Barbecue Superstars I just wanted to say is about being in Lubbock. We're all going to be there except Chris Fulmer, which will be too bad, because I got to meet Chris in Georgia at the Evans contest. And, you know, you hear him on the radio, and then you have no idea what they're going to be like. I have only met, of course, Daryl, but Chris Chadwick, and I'm looking forward to getting in an area where with these guys. We'll have a blast, and several of them are going to be up at Hobbs, and then we'll all be October 3rd and 4th. We'll be in South Carolina for the Barbecue Superstar World Championship Series. If you've noticed, if you've been on Facebook, there has been a lot of guys get their invitations. Their teams are starting to sign up. It's a qualifier. There are some lifetime invitations out there from people who have won specific things. But if you There's one of the guys. Let's go right to, I think this is Obie's. Just what I will say is if you qualify from a competition, then there will be a lifetime invitation out there, as well as there's an annual invitation, much like the Jack. But we see this contest to be a big thing, and we're looking forward to it. So, Obie, is that you? I'm trying to answer. Come on. It doesn't want to answer. Here we go. Can you hear me, Obie?
Yes.
Okay, great. Welcome to the show. We've got Obie Maples with us. And, Obie, what are you doing now? Let's see. We know you were the runner-up last week, but since it aired, how has your life, or since you filmed it, how has your life kind of changed?
Actually, it's changed definitely pretty good. Actually, when I filmed it, I was at Barbie's, actually working at Bobby's Barbecue out here in Baldwin for about 2 weeks, and
oh,
I'm still here enjoying it.
Oh, so you had just started working there?
Yes.
Were you still, because I think I remember it said telecommunications, were you working with Comcast or something too?
Actually, at the time, I'd say about a month before I was unemployed. So,
oh, wow.
That's what I had on my resume, the last thing I did, so I guess that's what they put on there, so.
Yeah,
you know.
I know, you don't have any control over that, do you?
Not at all.
So how did you decide to, because you were, like you said, you were the young buck of the group, how did you decide to actually make application for a show like this?
You know, just it actually was one of those things where at the time I really didn't know. It took me about 2 hours to fill it out.
Oh, yeah.
I just was being honest as possible, just being me, actually. So I really couldn't believe how quick they called me back.
Well, and isn't it funny that when they took the applications in, that they made a decision and all this stuff was happening pretty quickly?
Yes. Yes, definitely. For me, because actually it was on a Monday. I put in the application, and they called me the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was. It's mind-blowing, kind of scary.
Well, and, you know, Barbecue Pitmasters, they did the same thing this year with them, and they did that with the majority of people. I don't think mine was the next day, but it was like 2 days later, and then the next week you were filming, so... yeah, it was very quick. I guess that way they could make sure you're not going to tell a bunch of people.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So what did you think about your judges? You had Claire Robinson and you had Culpepper.
I thought it was great. Claire, she actually gave me the most critique. Felt like she was more on my side than anything. But it was great, Cole. He was great. You know, didn't really have much to say, but I took his words and ran with it.
Well, you know, it seemed like Claire was really, you know, she wasn't critical, I don't think, to really anybody. I think she was trying to really be positive with everybody to say,
exactly.
You know, because she knows what it's like to do those kind of competitions.
Yes, yes. She actually shared a few things with me after the show. She emailed me, and definitely made me feel good. She was pretty much saying that she was in, it happened to her as well, and you know, it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so let's talk about your first round. You get frog legs and habanero peppers. I got to tell you, I was shocked any of you guys actually took a bowl back to your thing. I'm like, I'd only take one. what did you think when you got those?
I really thought I was going home. I really thought I was going home. It just, I guess my generation is not really something that we embraced. And but once I got my hands on it, I figured out pretty well, you know, what I was going to do and what I was going to try to do anyway.
Yeah, well, because you approached it like it was chicken, and that's what you said.
Exactly.
So, you know, that was great. I think most people who have had frog legs, it's been fried. I mean, Claire said that, so it was kind of an interesting item to be on there. But I think the classic line, well, two things were classic on your first round. when you said, "I'm scared," I thought you were doing a little Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
Which I got a big chuckle about.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jeff, he got beat by a mushroom.
Yeah. Pretty much everyone on my Facebook loved that line. That was a good one.
That was a good one. And how did you get started in grilling? I mean, you're 30 now, right? Because you were 29
yes.
when you filmed? Okay. So
correct.
How did you get started in grilling or barbecuing?
Honestly, and I tell everyone, it started at a youth camp, roughly around 16. My youth pastor wife asked me, because I always had a love for cooking. I was a big guy when I was young. So I was like, you know, best thing to do is learn how to cook when you like to eat. So she asked me, and I was like, yeah, sure. And it was from there, just the passion for it, and just it just comes natural.
Well, that's cool. Now, what do you mean you were a big guy? Like, how big?
Well, I'll say my senior year, I was about 215.
Really?
Roughly, yeah, about 215, you know. And once I got out of high school, started college, started moving around, working more, and stopped drinking soda and dropped a lot of weight.
Yeah, soda will do it to you, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting to learn a little bit about you in this process. And do you think as you went into it? I mean, obviously you knew that you were the younger guy of it. What did you think that? I guess. Why did you think you would be able to keep up with everybody else?
Honestly, I really didn't realize I could keep up with everyone until I actually got there. When I got over the first round, that let me know I'm here for a reason. At the time I really didn't believe in my style, didn't really think I was broad enough, but I just decided to stick with what I know and keep it simple and not overthink.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah, so yeah. Fun. And so you get your beef. Did they tell you when you got the beef other than grass-fed? Because we realize, I mean, from interviewing people on these shows and being part of that, you talk for 10 hours between the interviews and everything else. Did they tell you it was sirloin, or did they just say grass-fed beef and they never said sirloin to you guys?
I want to say only thing I remember was grass-fed beef. When I seen it, it pretty much looked like a sirloin.
Oh, it did?
But you can just tell it's just not – what I'm used to eating, what I'm used to seeing, it had no fat in it. That was the first time having a steak with not being veins of fat running through it.
Right, right. It didn't look like it did, but, you know, sometimes you can't tell. It could have been perfectly marbled in front of you.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you, as I was watching it, Brian, you know, did the overly ambitious.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when I saw that he was going to grind it, I'm like, oh, my God. And then, you know, it's like, had he poured his bacon fat on the meat and put the bacon on there, things could have been different for everybody.
Yeah, somewhat. If I believe, because we actually went back to the tent before they do the judging, but I thought he would have put bacon, like she ground the bacon up in with the burger.
That would have made a huge difference.
You know, it was just too, it was too lean.
Yeah.
But, hey, it was a good idea. I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, and, you know, they loved what you did with the stone crab. You put the beer in it, and you let them know that you knew that it was cooked in advance. You know, obviously they're going to know that, too, being food people, but not every layman realizes that crabs are cooked in advance, and they could have, if somebody didn't know, they could have easily dried that out. So I have a feeling she was really loving that. And your pimento cheese, had you really had that before?
No, first time. it was a lot of those. But it tastes so good. I was like, that's perfect going on top of the steak.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. So you really did have a lot of things you hadn't worked with before.
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, mushrooms. I cook basically all three rounds. But, yeah, it was definitely interesting, and it makes you look cocky at times.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You said, you know, you're going to stick with what you know, and you do grilled veggies on it, and I'm a veggie griller, too. I think it goes with almost everything, and like you said, mushrooms and steak go well, and they had already told you they liked it, so what's
exactly.
Not food? Yeah. So you're working at Bobby's Barbecue there in Baldwin. What are you doing there for him?
Actually, I'm the head cook,
okay.
So I pretty much do anything that needs to be done. Actually, tonight I have to cook for tomorrow, so we'll have everything ready and fresh for our customers.
And what time do you guys do your operation there?
Monday through Saturday, it's 11 to 8, and on Sunday, it's 11 to 3.
Sunday, 11 to 3. Oh, wow. Oh,
yes.
So you're just basically open for lunch on Sunday.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of cookers do you guys have there?
We have the, what is it, the South?
You have an old Hickory, Southern Fried,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
We use the Blackjack Oak.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And are you doing brisket there as well?
Yep, brisket, sausage, of course pork is our big seller, turkey, chicken, of course.
Are you doing your own sausage?
Actually, we're buying it right now. We're actually working on that, make our own sausage. But right now we have the buy it from the food guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When I think that's one of those things when a barbecue joint gets their own sausage that they perfect, I think people drive from all over to get really good smoked sausage in places. Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
So that'll be fun to watch or wait for you to announce that you're doing your own sausages, too.
Yes, definitely working on it.
Yeah. Oh, so let's just talk real briefly about your last round then. You get to the last round. Are you flipping out at that point? Because, I mean, here it's staring you in the face, $10,000.
Yes. The only thing I can just tell myself is to stay calm. Because if I start getting all over the place, I'm going to make big mistakes. So, and $10,000, especially at that time, that was really my only focus, to get myself out of some situations and everything. But, so I'm last round, basically what they didn't air, they basically said go big or go home. So I really took that to heart. I decided to cook a whole duck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I started thinking today because I rewatched the show before we were on there, and the only way that I think you could have actually cooked that on the grill whole would have been if you had taken a big bowl and, I mean, this is the only thing I could come up with, taking a big bowl and put over the top of it, and you would have had to put something over it so it didn't drip into there with the duck fat, because that duck fat, but really the rum is what you caught fire with, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's basically, because I knew I wanted to incorporate the rum, so I did not want to take it off the bone at all.
Yeah.
I really did, and I thought I could possibly get it hot enough where I can at least cook it through. But, of course, once we had to throw our hands up, I thought about everything I need to do. I cut it off the bone, you know, at the end I kind of lost it. I was just so worried that it wasn't done.
Well, if you're not a duck eater, I don't happen to be a duck eater, don't really care for it, but I would fix it for somebody. And people do eat it rare, but it's, you know, that thing, if it's just too underdone, then you're kind of screwed.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a tough deal. So here's my real question. Since that time, I mean, and they say, you know, Obi, you're not going to be the Jacksonville grill master, at that point, I mean, it really hits you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like a ton of bricks. It's, I honestly knew it 10 minutes before the time was up that I wasn't going to win. I watch those shows all the time, and you just cannot serve anything that's undercooked like
yeah.
that. So
yeah.
It hurt. I had to do it twice because, you know, you have the two takes. So I lost twice.
You know, it's
so,
like,
but,
don't abuse me, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the reaction that they got was the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because probably in your head you're thinking, okay, I've already heard this.
Pretty much.
Well, you're a good sport about it, and it seems like you and Alex have kind of developed a little friendship along the way, haven't you?
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a real good
yeah.
guy.
And so do you still want to pursue the food truck, or, you know, you're happy at Bobby's and you can, because there's so much to learn in every avenue.
Exactly. Right now I'm pretty content where I am. My goal is to have my own food truck, so that will always be a part of the big picture. But right now I'm just learning and taking advantage of, you know, this learning opportunity. And Bob was the only person to give me a chance when I decided to leave Comcast. And I'm going to stick it out with him for a little while.
Well, that's great. Have you had any kind of training food-wise, culinary-wise, Obi?
No. No school, but it basically... Since 18, when I started college, I started food places all the way up to Comcast. I was pretty much in the food industry, cooked outside of work, but no schooling.
Yeah. Well, I will say you showed some great knife skills, because I was thinking, you know, it runs so quickly, and I'm like, well, the kid's got some knife skills there. Has anybody else reached out to you since the airing? Because, and I will say, you were very calm where you said you weren't going to get all over the place. You were very calm
yeah.
at the on the show. But has anybody
yeah.
else reached out to you?
Forrest reached out. Like I said, Claire, the judge, she definitely reached out, which was very nice.
Yeah.
Alex, of course. He reached out, so we're gonna try to build us a good food relationship. That's
yep.
pretty much it. Like, you reached out, of course, right after the show, but now it's just a waiting game. But
well, you know, hopefully people will see that you obviously love what you're doing, and you know, sometimes there's a million things can happen. I mean, I talk about Chris Chadwick. You know, he went out and he was third on his round of Barbecue Pitmasters, and yet it has been the best thing that could have happened to him as a competition cook as well as a radio host for sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, he had such a good showing, and, you know, so depending on how you're looking at it, we're always trying to talk to different people about how we can make a living doing what we love. So
yes.
Right now you're collecting a paycheck, but with thoughts of moving forward. So had you always thought about having your own business?
I pretty much, I want to say yeah, especially when it came to, I originally went to school for computer networking.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted to do a computer shop, but food was always my passion. I always said that if, you know, I started a computer shop, I worked it so many years and started a restaurant. But just realized that food is more my calling, and I don't mind it doing every single day or whenever we have events and parties or whenever someone needs me or just want to eat some food. So that's I'm going to go with where my heart is.
Yeah, you're the guy. Hey, now, do you guys do any catering over there at Bobby's?
Yes, we definitely do major catering. We specialize in weddings, so once wedding season comes up, come see us.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, in my catering, I'll get people that'll go, well, we know you barbecue, but we really don't want barbecue for our wedding. And then they'll go, but we want it smoked, but we don't want really barbecue. And I'll say, and it happens a lot. And I'll say, well, what if I smoke it with, you know, like, and they always want pulled pork, but they don't want it barbecued. And I'll say, what if I smoke it with oranges and apples and pineapple? And they're like, perfect. I call it Hawaiian pork then, you know. And it's like, that's what I always sell them. And it's such a great wedding meat, especially in Florida. But they always say, we want it pulled, but we don't want it barbecued, you know. So it's like, it's always a funny thing. You know, barbecued weddings are pretty popular, and you'll crack up when you see all the places that you guys will be serving them. Now, Baldwin's a little bit farther south of Jacksonville, right? Because I'm trying to think of where it is.
Yeah, it's more west. It's off of off the highway is 10.
Off of 10?
It's on U.S. 90, a.k.a. Okay. Beaver Street.
Yeah, so is that, I mean, and I don't know how long he's been there, but is that an area that would be good for the tailgating season? Is that something that you guys work that market?
Well, not that's something that's actually a good idea. It's not something that it's not close to tailgating. Maybe if you know you're going downtown to the stadium, and you just want something to go, you know, of course you call in and we can make, you know, wings and we have it all. But yeah, it's but hopefully we can make something like that happen. We're, you know, Bob's looking at maybe possibly a food truck, so that would possibly be a good idea. But that's in the future.
Yeah, a lot of, as a matter of fact, I was mentioning T. Weston Steakhouse. My friend Tracy Smith, that's got the place down in Wildwood, they're definitely going to add a truck or a trailer because there's so many events that they, you know, they can't just do under a tent. They really need a base, and the laws in Florida allow for you to have a smoker either behind it or bring it from a smoker now into a trailer. But, you know, 4 years ago you couldn't do that. It had to be enclosed. And now
enclosed,
it does.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. that would make a huge difference for you guys probably, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yes. And I definitely want to, I wouldn't mind trying to get on the barbecue competition network.
Well, you know, you'll have to check out Mac Daddy Smokers there in Middleburg. They have that Mac Daddy Challenge, which is basically designed for beginners. And they've done a tremendous job this year with it, and it's close to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Listen, keep me posted. Don't hesitate to send me a message once in a while just to let me know what's going on, and if I can help you, you've got my personal number. Don't hesitate to call me, okay?
I really appreciate it.
All right, Obie. Listen, congratulations. You know, I'm sure Papa Neil said to you what he said to us. Even if, no matter what round you go out, at least your ass wasn't sitting at home watching it.
Exactly. That is so real. Yes,
all right, Obie,
I appreciate everything.
Again, congratulations. I've got Alex is going to be on here in a second, and it was fun to watch you.
All right, thank you. You good.
All right, take care.
Good luck.
All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye. All right, that's Obie Maples, and we are going to our next guest. And Alex, are you there?
Yes, Matt, I'm here. How are you?
All right, we've got Alex Montanez, and Alex is last week's winner of American Grilled, and you are the owner of the Gourmet Aviator, right?
That's correct.
You know, I love the look, and you know, when I saw your truck on the show last week, I'm like, what is that? You know, I didn't get it at first, you know, because they showed it before they actually said Gourmet Aviator, and then it's like, oh, it's a really good nod. So tell us a little bit about your background and how it came to be.
Well, basically, I'm an actual aviator. I'm a professional pilot and an aircraft mechanic. I've been doing that for over 21 years right now.
Wow.
And aviation is very volatile, you know, it's, you know, with the economy is very sensitive, so it's a little laid off here and there. And after I got laid off from my last big job, I decided to, you know, I think if I'm going to have an uncertain future, may as well just have a business and I can take my time off to do my own business. So.
No, that is a great comment. I mean, if I'm going to have an uncertain future, it might as well be in my own business.
That's correct, and I can take a vacation whenever I want to. That's a good thing. So.
Yep. No, that's that's a great comment. So you decided that you were going to do that right off the bat, or did you have something else in mind?
Yeah, I decided that every time we used to do a cross-country with my pilot students, I used to teach, I was a flight instructor, we actually go to certain places that actually serve food for pilots. There's a movie, it's called The $100 Burger. It's because it costs you more to get there than the actual burger. So they call it The $100 Burger. It's their actual book. And it's a really good book. It tells you, it's like a directory of all the restaurants you can actually fly in and have a lot of fun. So we used to go to, like, Sykestown, Missouri. We used to have a restaurant called Lambert's. They actually throw bread in your face. It's really fun. And you're in New Pensacola. It's actually across the border in, it's like the second exit in Alabama when you're coming over. It's really, really, they have like three restaurants. And the premises is basically you ask for a roll, and there's a guy standing with a rack of fresh baked roll, and they throw it in your face. You know, I thought it was rude the first time, but it's a lot of fun. But
we used to fly to restaurants. Oh, wait a minute. They don't really throw it at your face. They're throwing it for you to catch.
They kind of, you know, depends. Depends how the games go. They do throw for you to catch, but sometimes they try to aim for your face just for fun. And it's like the restaurants that actually treat you very rude, but it's actually like their motto. It's kind of like that. It's a lot of fun. But they treat pilots very well. We used to land there. They used to pick us up, take us to a restaurant. We never had to wait. And we used to go to a lot of places like that and dine. So I've always been a foodie, and I figured, you know what, I'm always being for food, and I always cook. My family always cooks. And I figured, hey, why not? You know, I don't want to put a restaurant. Let's try it with a food truck and see. Every family member telling my food is good, but let's see what the public says. So,
right, right.
And so far, it's good. So I'm one of the oldest food trucks here in Jacksonville.
That's what's really nice. Now, about how many food trucks operate in the Jacksonville area?
Right now, there should be around 75 trucks. And they're becoming pretty popular. I was truck number 5 or 6 that started here when the food truck revolution started. And right now there are 75 or so. There's almost one every week opening in this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, it really sucks that the area I'm in, they just won't let it happen. And I've had a concession. I have a trailer, and I've had that. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've got it licensed. I re-upped my license, and I'm going to sell it because I keep it for the wrong reasons, you know. They don't let us do anything here, but I see you really have quite a few events. I was looking at your Facebook page for the Gourmet Aviator. You have a lot of events that you do too, don't you?
Yeah, I've been doing. I was fortunate enough to do big events. Like this particular year, we have done some of the biggest events in the area, including the Players. It was one of the 6 trucks that was exclusively invited to be at the Players. That was a very prestigious thing
That's
for us. I'm
great.
Kind of honored. I was the very first truck to be inside the stadium with the Jaguars. That was 2 years ago, actually.
Nice.
And as a matter of fact, I'm meeting with them this week, and we're going to do the third season now with the food trucks on premises. So people are really embracing it, but not others. You know, so it just depends where you're at, some areas.
Now, do you only have one truck?
Right now I have one truck. I got a couple trucks in the planning stages. Some of the equipment have been bought and all the stuff. Nothing has been built yet. So, but that's hopefully will be in the near future.
Well, and let's what is your – I know you talked a little bit about it on there, and I kind of want to give you an opportunity to promote your business over there. We have a lot of people from the Jacksonville area that are listeners.
Thank you.
What is your main type of food, and, you know, what's your real specialty then?
Well, basically, it's a fusion of Latin American cuisine and a little bit of Puerto Rican. It's not it's not the real Puerto Rican because, you know, unless you are really Puerto Rican and come to my truck, you probably don't appreciate that. So we kind of have to, you know, go with the demographics. But it's almost a fusion. Like, one of my top items is a slider that I make, and instead of bread, I use smashed plantains.
Yeah,
we rolled the pork for about 12 hours, and, you know, he's a pretty big hit.
So I wondered when you were talking about that, and that was going to be – I've got that written down here. You said that you sold a plantain slider. I didn't. Uh-huh. Are you doing it with the tostones, or are you doing it
yes.
with the ripe ones?
Yes. We do it with the tostones. So we try the ripe one. There is another recipe. It's called pastelón, which is almost like a lasagna
yep.
style dish. And instead of pasta noodles, you use the sweet plantains. I tried some of those. It's a little bit cumbersome in the truck, more than in a restaurant. You have to kind of accommodate to
yeah.
what you have. It's almost like going camping. So
yeah,
if you don't
yeah.
have all the utensils and commodities of your home. So so we tried those for a little while. They went okay. Again, it's trying to reintroduce something to people that I know it tastes good, but there it's unknown, so sometimes it doesn't really sell as good. So
yeah.
we might reintroduce it again.
Now, are you doing the tostones yourself, or are you buying them frozen? Just
depends what kind of event we do. If we do large events, I have a very good source that sells them to us already pre-made. And the reason we do that is because we have better consistency. If you go
oh, yeah.
to like a restaurant deep or something, you get a case of tostones or plantains, and half of them are half ripe. They don't really
yeah.
taste that good whenever
right.
you make tostones. You know, because
yeah.
they'll be soggy and they will be very inconsistent in your
well,
in
and
your
people
dish.
Don't really realize in order to do it well, you're doing two different processes to it, which is time consuming
very,
too.
Very time consuming.
I used to buy a little tostones, I'm going to call it a little baby bowl. Have you ever seen it?
Uh-huh. No.
And
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yes.
You can buy those.
They fill it
and,
up?
Yep, and then you fill it, and
yep.
I'm telling you, they were dynamite. And
mm-hmm.
you could fill that. They have all kinds of little, but the little cups, they have a baby bowl, and they have a baby cup.
Yep.
And,
yep.
yeah, so that's really cool. I didn't quite get what you were doing there, but that sounds amazing. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Is that one of your
Thank
most
you.
Popular dishes?
That's one of the top sellers, along with
yeah.
Our fish tackle.
Oh, yeah.
We, I'm not Mexican, and you know, no offense to all my Mexican friends, and a few Puerto Ricans don't really eat tacos, so I wasn't going to have it in the menu. But some people kind of begged me and say, "Hey, you got to put this in your truck," and I did,
it's
and
easy.
Sure enough, you know, everybody goes for tacos now. So
yeah.
pretty popular.
You know, I mean, let's face it, it's easy on a truck, wraps
yes.
are easy, any of the tacos, and you can, you know, you have so many different fillers and they can go right
mm-hmm.
into the taco, so it's
Absolutely.
Kind of a no-brainer. Well, that's exciting. And how long have you had the truck?
Right now we are into two and a half years, actually, right now.
Two and a half
so.
Years? Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And so let's go to the show real quick and talk about it. Overall, how was your experience with the whole thing? I mean, obviously it was amazing because you won, but was it everything that you thought it would be?
I think it was everything I thought it would be and more. I think I have a fantastic time, and that will be, you know, regardless whether I win or not. I think I won. I met excellent competitors. They were very competitive, very tough, regardless of the background. I think they were, you know, almost intimidated to at one point. I'm like, wow. But they were really nice. I mean, Obi and Brian and Jeff, they're all great guys. And they're all great. And, you know, they all have great food. So it just happened that, you know, the judges decided something else. And, you know, things happen. You're under pressure. You're under time. But I had a lot of fun. It was one of the most fun times that I have cooking, I think, ever. So
yeah.
It was
well,
very good.
And when you're saying that you had great competitors, you guys were all very, and I thought about that today as I was rewatching it, you guys were all very respectful of each other.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, when they tell you things like trash talk each other, it's not natural, is it?
No, the producer do kind of, you know, tell you, hey, you know, what are you going to do, or say this, say that, and, you know, it's like, I don't feel like doing it. You know, sometimes, but you know, I just want to cook myself. You know, I got 20 minutes to do this, so let me.
Yeah,
do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things blow up
but
in your face when you trash talk.
Yeah, but it's still good fun. You know, it's still good. You know, great fun. So I got a lot of memories, and you know, unfortunately, I was actually unfortunately, I guess I was working that week too. So I had one spark, which is another big event, huge event in the Jacksonville area. So you know, we were up at 7, you know, ready to go and ready to film. And I think the day that we filmed the show, we finished at 7:30 or 8. And then I had to be in my truck by 7, which I was already an hour late. So I had to basically go to the hotel, change clothes real quick, and work until like midnight. And by the time I got done doing everything and cleaning, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and then, you know, start the day over because it was a 3-day period. So,
oh,
so it was
wow.
a long
so,
day for me, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that made for a real profitable couple days then, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was a zombie at the end of the week, but but it was great. I don't regret it.
So when we look at the whole round of food, and I don't know if you actually heard anything because I know you were working and had an event tonight, but, you know, Obi and I kind of went through the list of food. What was the most challenging of the foods and the presentation for you? What was the hardest?
The hardest was the duck. But believe it or not, in every round there is at least one thing that I at least ate but I haven't cooked in my life. Like in the first round, I never cooked frog legs, ever. And if you give me frog legs, the first thing I will do, probably I will fry them, you know, batter them and fry them or something. That's the way I have tried them before. I never tried them grilled. So all of us, you know, all the four of us, you know, stuck, and you know, they got stuck on the grill, no matter whether you oil them or not. It didn't matter. So it was kind of interesting. The second round, of course, the stone crab. I ate plenty of stone crab. Never worked with the stone crab before, so I figured, well, we'll see what happened. And not the chayote either. You know, I never worked with chayote. My grandma used to make it.
Really?
I don't even know how to make it. Yeah. It's a staple kind of in the Latin cuisine.
I love it.
And,
I cook it all the time.
I never cooked with it before. I remember my grandma doing it, but and she waited until it was ripe, and I don't know exactly how she cooked it, but I eat it.
It's got a
and then
cool
the last
flavor.
Round, I'm sorry?
It has a cool flavor, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I love the one I did with it. I did try that one. As a matter of fact, I just bought some this week to, you know, reproduce all my recipes.
You did a cilantro pesto, correct?
Yeah, the cilantro pesto is something that I do fairly frequent. What I serve in my tacos and in the sliders is slaw. And my slaw is a cilantro ranch-based slaw. So it doesn't have any mayo. My son is allergic to eggs. So I figure, you know, I got to get something that, you know, he can actually eat. And plus it's a little lighter. People don't like the mayo stuff based. So it's a very popular slaw. I mean, I got people asking for side of it. And I don't even sell a side of it. So, okay, I'll give you a side of it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, and so, and then we got to the duck.
The duck was something that I had ate duck in the past, and I kind of knew how to cook it. But I figured, well, I'm under pressure. I don't know how it is. And I actually put it a little bit earlier. And I figured I'd rather serve it well done than undercooked. So, and then, unfortunately, my friend Ovi, that I believe, you know, have fantastic flavor in his food, that's what basically kind of against him. You know, he put it a little bit later, or, you know, and that's what put pretty much, you know, put me out. But he was a tough competitor, great competitor, too. Awesome. So.
Yeah. Well, I kind of chuckled about Claire saying that your marmalade habanero was a little on the spicy side. I joked with Obi, you know, they gave you guys a whole bowl of habaneros. I mean, really? They could have just given you one and you got it.
Yeah, and it's tough to, like, for instance, I do what we call spicy mayo on my truck. I do it every day. And it's actually based on, it's mayo and sriracha. I mean, sriracha is pretty hot for a lot of people.
Yep.
I can probably drink it myself. But I have techniques that I use to take the spice out and keep the flavor. And what we have to cook in the particular round, I couldn't actually do those tricks. So it was going to be spicy. So.
Yeah, I was amazed that, like I said, that everybody was going back with a whole bowl. I'm like, I would have just left with one.
Yeah, so.
Well, you did a great job.
Yeah, I did reproduce that recipe. I only put one habanero on it, and I did not feel it. So I think I'm going to have to put a lot more more into it. Yeah. Once you start putting with the sweetness of the marmalade, the key is anything sweet will kill some of the heat. For instance, in our spicy mayo, we put Splenda on it, and the Splenda killed the heat. And the reason we put Splenda is because it actually emulsifies better. When you mix it, and the sweetness just kills the heat. and you can still have the flavor of the the sriracha. So with marmalade, which was pretty sweet, actually keep killing the heat all the time. So I got to keep adding until it gives you taste. So
yeah. So are you going to have on the food truck? Are you going to have like an American grilled special?
I think I'm going to. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about for months now, and we're going to change some of the equipment that we have currently have in the kitchen, and we're going to have actually I'm going to put a grill on it for once. So I got a flat top right now, and I figure you know what, some of the popular items that we're going to keep in the menu, we can still do in the flat top, and then we're just going to put a grill on it, and we have actually new menu items that were not from the show, and they're going to be on it. And I think it's pretty exciting what's coming up with the Gourmet Aviator.
With the what?
With the Gourmet Aviator food truck.
Oh.
I think it's pretty exciting what's coming up. So
yeah,
we're
going to
probably sell frog legs, but
oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll do some others stuff. So.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. If you could figure out how to do them, because you're not going to get grill marks on them. They cook too fast. You know, so I don't know how you would get grill marks on them, but
actually I just saw another show and what they did, they flash fry them and then they finish them on the grill. When you flash fry them, the outside skin create a little crust and does not allow them to stick. So that will be a good technique to actually do.
Yeah, and like you could do that in 20 minutes on a show like that.
Yeah, I know. Plus, we know fryer. So.
So, Alex, are you interested in doing any more food competitions?
I did it in the past, and if some of them come across, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm pretty competitive, and I just keep, whether I win or not, I think I keep myself into the creative mode of what else can I create, how can I create, how can I make it better. Not necessarily for just winning. It's just that keep me kind of in the edge, so... We used to have a little group in Jacksonville. It's called Iron Chef Jacksonville. That's how it got me into cooking here for the public. Yeah, and what we did was one of those meetup groups, and we meet at someone's house, and they give you the secret ingredient at noon, and you go to your house. Of course, it's all private. It's not open to the public. They give you the ingredient at noon, and you have until 5 o'clock to deliver the ingredients to someone's house, and we make kind of a party in the house. And then we all judge each other's dishes. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it kind of got to the point that the same people use the same house all the time. And it was like 50 people in the group. And like, well, three people are using their own house over and over. Nobody wants to donate their house. And we figured, let's quit. But it was a fantastic group. And I mean, I had a lot of fun. I created a lot of lifetime friends that are still in touch with them. Some of them decided to open restaurants. Another opened like a cupcake factory or something. I don't know.
Nice.
So they were pretty cool.
Nice. Well, that's
Now
you got me intrigued on something like that, because that would be a blast to do, even if it was only once a month.
Yeah, if you don't need the details, just get with me later, and I'm more than welcome to, tell you how we did it. Maybe we can do better. Now I have a warehouse, and we're basically building a studio kitchen on it. And, now we have a centric place that we can all go, so everybody fishing, And we can just go to my place. But before I didn't have, the commercial kitchens or anything, so we just did it at our home. So,
yeah,
but it's
so
still
you
a lot of fun.
You actually have your own commissary, or you're building it?
I own the only indoors storage facilities for food truck in the actually for Northeast Florida. I don't might be in the state. I haven't heard of anybody else that store food trucks indoors. We can put about 25 trucks indoors, and they all plugged in. Yeah, and we probably have about 15 trucks right now in the warehouse. And they're all indoors. They plug in. They have their own storage space.
Wow.
And we're in the process of finishing some of the, some of the faces. We're doing it by faces, so it's all, expense on it. It's 20,000 square feet to take care of it, so... But we're doing, all the sinks and, some prep tables and an area as air conditioning. So we're getting the DBPR, make sure that everything is, by the code and all that stuff right now. So, hopefully we have it done soon.
Yeah, that's a huge thing to promote. When you get that done, you you come back and let's talk about that, because I'm surprised there aren't more of those, whether it's Orlando. You just don't hear of places that are doing that. So you're on the edge.
L.A. Yeah, L.A. does it. And
right.
They actually have people that, when you drive your truck in, they actually have people that clean your dishes, believe it or not. So
yeah.
You pay an immense amount, like $2,000 a month over there. But they come in, they clean your truck, they clean your dishes, they do everything, and they also have food right on it. But it happened that my commissary is right next to Restaurant Depot, so they can just go ahead and shop. Right. I mean, you can literally walk with it.
Yeah, that's great.
And, So it's very good.
Well, Alex, we're about out of time, but keep us posted on that, because that's cutting edge, man. I mean, I'm impressed. That's
Thank you.
To see you really be exceptionally successful with that.
Absolutely. And if you're ever in the area, just give me a holler, and I'll be more than glad to show you around.
I will, because I'm probably doing a contest up there. In November. So I'll definitely be in touch with you and Obi.
Very well.
Maybe
I might drag
Obi out to come compete with me.
There we go. Is it a barbecue contest or?
It's a regular barbecue contest we do up there.
Very well. Very cool. Yeah.
All right, Alex.
We're leaving now, so.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. So. Congratulations. It was a blast to watch you, and I look forward to keeping up with you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Alex Montanez, and he is the Gourmet Aviator. It's going to be exciting to pay attention to what he's doing, those food truck. I'm going to call him a hangar, because that's really what he was thinking of, and I'm wondering if it was, and we just didn't get to that. But congratulations to him and the other guys on the contest last week for American Grill. New round will be on tomorrow. Looking forward to watching that. Like to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke, the letter Q. Remember, he's got two spots left in his class for this weekend, so you can get a hold of Jim. If you can't find him on sweetsmokeq.com, give me a call or look on my Facebook page and send me a message. I'll make sure you get to him. Mac Daddy Smokers, love what they're doing over there in Middleburg, and super happy with my cooker. Rectech Pellet Cookers, cookandpellets.com. I use the premium or the perfect mix. Love it. They also have 100% hickory if you're interested in having that. Royal Oak Charcoal. Appreciate what they've done for me this year, as well as Pirate 50 custom artwork and trophies. Listen, guys, appreciate everything. Like I said, remember American Grill's on tomorrow night. Food Fighters was on tonight. And Diva Q is on with Barbecue Crawl. So you're at no loss to find food shows wherever you're at. And you can like my Facebook page, Barn Goddess Barbecue, BBQ, that is, on Facebook, or Lori Frazee. Be happy to be friends with you and share some recipe ideas. That's what we're kind of always doing. We're talking about food. If you have an idea for a show or a product you'd like to promote, please feel free to contact me. And like I said earlier in the program, I am looking to get a hold of some of the people from Frankenfood. If anybody has a contact out there, let me know, because I'm just getting nowhere. Normally, I find somebody. I even talked to an owner of a restaurant in Chicago, and they were not interested at all in being part of any kind of advertising. I don't know if it's related to a contractual agreement or not, but if you have a contact for one of the Frankenfood people, get that to me. I'd really appreciate it. And with that, just remember, it's all good in the barbecue hood, and we will be back with you on Tuesday of next week. Safe travels to everybody that's going out there and putting yourselves out there for competition this week, guys. So, again, thanks for listening, and we'll be back on Tuesday. Good night.